Good morning, this is 88.9 Win FM, your station, your voice. I'm Charu Chitrindas presenting Hare Krishna morning program. Studio clock, it's 8 o'clock. As per Western calendar and Vaishnava calendar, today is 13th May 2006, Saturday, Purnima Tithi, Gaura Paksha, Varyana Yoga and Vishakha Nakshatra. Let us begin this morning with Krishna consciousness. I believe hundreds of devotees who are regular listeners of this program, in Nectar of Devotion, Sri Prabhupada wrote, founder Acharya of Hare Krishna movement, when a devotee is engaged in the service of the Lord, he is said to have reached the attainment of yoga. The English meaning of yoga is linking up. So actual linking up with Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead begins when the devotee renders service unto Him. Devotee is situated in the transcendental rasa, means mellow of servitorship, render their particular service whenever there is an opportunity. The book called Srimad Bhagavatam has clearly indicated that the servitor relationship with Krishna is the actual beginning of yoga realization. In the process of surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are six items. Number one, to accept everything favorable for devotional service. Number two, reject everything unfavorable for devotional service. Number three, believe that Krishna will always give protection. Number four, identify oneself with Krishna's devotees. Number five, always to feel inability without the help of Krishna. And the last one, always think oneself inferior to Krishna. Even though one may have a full capacity to perform something on his own, when one is substantially convinced that Krishna always protects him, all circumstances, that feelings is called reverential devotion. Reverential devotion is executed in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and with His other protected devotees. Friends, best process of reciprocating reverential devotion is chanting the holy name of the Lord along with devotees. Allow me to begin this morning with Maha Mantra. Who never had the feelings of yoga, simply chanting the Maha Mantra, the holy name, along with devotees will engage in the reverential devotional position. So why not use our morning with starting with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Thank you.
Krishna. Dear friends, this radio program designed for to make a devotee of Lord. Do not miss this opportunity. If you are enlightened with this subject matter, please tell your best friend who may need this. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, bestow His causeless mercy upon all living entities who are looking for eternal bliss. Let us begin today's journey to the path of absolute truth. This morning, we'll hear about Atma Nivedanam, means surrendering everything to the lotus feet of Lord. Let us concentrate our mind to hear about Atma Nivedanam, process of surrendering from Mumbai Chowpatty by His Grace Govinda Prabhu. After the lecture, we'll hear devotional songs and explanation about Akshaya Tritiya, how to become Krishna devotee. Hope you all enjoy this program, which is an essence of loving service to Lord. Reminding you again, we have well-organized website, have enough material to engage whole family. Also, you can hear this radio program at our website. Our address is www.iskcon.net.au.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrit, while speaking the sixth principle of surrender, when Sanatana Goswami was discussing with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Sanatana Goswami about the principle of Saranagati. Saranagati or Atma Nivedan, they are one and the same. In fact, Atma Nivedan is part of Saranagati. And Lord Chaitanya said there are six stages of Saranagati. And they are very practical. It begins with Anukulasya Sankalpa. That when we start practicing devotional service, what do? We accept whatever is favorable for our devotional service. And therefore the Vedic culture, the culture of Krishna consciousness, in the broad spectrum we call it as a Vedic culture. If you see and study the lifestyle in the Vedic culture, what does it teach? The whole lifestyle teaches us how to continue to depend on Krishna by seeing Krishna's existence in every aspect of the life. The difference between Vedic culture and Western culture is to see spirit or the Supreme Spirit in matter. And the Western culture is to see matter in spirit. What is the difference? When we can see spirit everywhere, we can see Supreme Spirit everywhere, then naturally you don't want to exploit. Exploitation is caused because there is a tendency to manipulate matter. When you see matter everywhere, then you think that matter is made for my purpose, to manipulate matter and use it according to my desire. And because we see matter in spirit also, therefore we become materialistic. And a person, when he becomes materialistic, then he becomes desensitized. But on the other hand, when you see spirit in matter, then we can see the intervention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as in the morning Radha Gopinath was quoting from that verse, that Lord Vishnu, He anupravishai, enters into every living entity. Not only every living entity, in every matter. So in that concept is there, naturally one cannot exploit. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the conflict was between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj. And what was the conflict? The conflict was, Hiranyakashipu was seeing everything as the source of his enjoyment. And therefore he could not see God anywhere. And Prahlad Maharaj, being a great devotee of the Lord, exactly opposite of his father, he could see God everywhere. That was the conflict. The conflict between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj was seeing God everywhere and seeing God nowhere. And when we don't see God everywhere, that is part of Saranagati. When we don't see God everywhere, then whatever happens in our life, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in one of his books, that when you don't see Krishna everywhere, then naturally whatever happens in your life, you think you are the controller. We have these self-made people. They are the most difficult to preach. Because from their early childhood, they don't have the facilities to learn on somebody or something. They are dropped by their parents. The society has not taken care of them. Everywhere they see dark. And then what happens? They become quite confident about themselves. And some other, they stand on their own feet. And because of, they have not learned the culture of depending on others, if you go and preach to them about Krishna consciousness, they say, where is God? I'm a self-made person. Depending on God is a sign of slavery. Therefore, they are difficult to preach. But if somebody has the culture of being dependent on others, then he can see very easily that it's easier to depend on God. So that was the conflict between Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, to see God everywhere and to see God nowhere. And even though Hiranyakashipu saw Lord Vishnu coming right in front of him, even that point he had a facilities to surrender to Lord Narasingadev. He saw Lord Narasingadev, but he said no, he wanted to fight Narasingadev. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains, unless you are qualified to see God, demanding to see God is a demonic culture. Very powerful statement. That if you don't have the qualification to see God and you demand to see God, that means you are outright demon. You have to develop that culture. Like I read this story long back, when the astronauts went to the space and they went around, they came back and they were going around different places and talking about how they landed on moon. And then in one school, when they were giving their talk to the students, and the young children were quite innocent, they asked the astronauts, they were not interested in all those technical details. One of the students, he asked, he said, sir, did you see God there? Because you are taught from your childhood that God is up there. He is watching all our activities. And then he said, no, I was looking everywhere for God in the space, but I could not see him. And the priest was there. He said, my dear child, how can he see God there? Because he has not learned the art of seeing God here, he will not see there. So therefore, that was the difference between Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. And consequently, he could not surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the Vedic culture, when we practice this principle of depending on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the whole culture, the occupation in the Vedic time was based upon this principle, that minimize your bosses. In the mundane world, when you have many bosses, naturally all the faculty of depending on God is taken, stolen away by these so-called masters. And because they steal all these things from us, the faculty of depending on God, then what do you say? I don't have time to practice God consciousness. In fact, practicing God consciousness becomes a luxury. When Prabhupada was distributing books in Delhi, many Indians would say, oh, this is too much. It is a luxury item. No, first of all, we have to maintain our family, maintain this, maintain that, work for our family, sustain. Then we can think about God. Why? Because they have got so many masters in their life. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam purport, one of the reasons in this age of Kali why people live less, because over dependence on others' mercy. The whole chain, the whole society is so designed that there is such a connection on every aspect of our life, we depend so much. If the fans are not working, we'll be so miserable. If the trains are not working, we are so miserable. If the water is not running in the tap, we are so miserable. So the modern civilization is so designed so that we become slave of all our facilities. In fact, one philosopher says, if you do not have an inner life, then what happens? You become slave of your surroundings. That is the precise difference between Western culture and Vedic culture. But when you become dependent of your surrounding, you don't become dependent anymore, then the faculty is there to depend. That is naturally offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, anukulasya sankalpa, whatever is favorable, accept that. When Prabhupada wanted to establish simple living and high thinking, it is not simple that you go to live in the farm, it is so nice. No, it has a deep, profound understanding behind that. That you no more depend on the externals of this material world. And pratikulasya varjanam, and whatever is not favorable to devotional service, you reject that. When these two principles are practiced, then what happens? Rakshisiti vishwaso. Then that natural faith is awakened that Krishna is the protector. In the olden times, when the farmer, he would till the ground, then plant his seed, he had that conviction that, and in fact, the Shastras talk about when he is planting the seed, he has to perform certain pujas. He has to offer certain sacrifice to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So naturally a farmer, what does he do? More than anybody else, he depends on God. He depends on Krishna's nature. Now that facility is also taken away by the modern people. Now the farmer has to depend on the you know, big scientists to manipulate the grains and the fertilizers. He has to depend on the shopkeeper. He does not depend on God. There is a saying in Marathi that farming is considered as first class occupation. Sheti uttam. What is that next? Yeah, Sheti Uttam Vyapar Madhyam and Naukri Adham. Now saying is there. Why? Because again the principle of dependence, that a farmer does not have to depend on anybody else except Krishna. But Naukri means what? That you have to depend on so many people, therefore there is less facility. You can't have natural faith in God that He can protect me. No, let me arrange all my material necessities, then let me think of depending on God. Even though the modern people, they claim that practicing religion means you becoming slave of your imaginations. You imagine that God is protecting. Forget this, give up the slavery mentality. But one cannot avoid, because that is our natural constitutional position. You have to depend, you have to become a slave. But you have the choice to become the slave of your mundane superiors, or you have a choice to become the slave of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Rakshisiti Vishwasa, the third stage is that one depends on God. And the fourth stage, Goptritva Varanam Tata, the fourth stage is that you know that Krishna is the real maintainer. He is the one who provides everything. Prabhupada would make this point all the time. How a modern person fails to understand that one cannot subsist by eating nuts and bolts. And all the factories, what they are producing, they are producing nuts and bolts. And we are so much dependent on them. Srila Prabhupada explains in one of his talks that India have got its independence. They are lamenting, oh, we don't have much factories, we don't have much factories. That was their lamentation. In fact, Gandhiji explained, if the agriculture perishes or India's village perishes, India perishes. But because some leaders were influenced by a powerful Kali Yuga influence, they could not see that. And therefore we see that how India is not only perishing materially, People say that it is flourishing, but culturally it is dead. Prabhupada explains, culturally it is gone. But when we practice the principle of Sharanagati as prescribed in the Vedic culture, then you understand actually Krishna is the maintainer. He is the one who provides everything. He is the one who gives us grain. He is the one who gives us water. In fact, one of our devotees recently, when we were in the West, we have one devotee, Srila Prabhupada disciple. He is known amongst everyone that wherever he goes and performs kirtan, he brings rains. After we came back, this one devotee wrote to me that this devotee was traveling to different places, and wherever he would go, after the kirtan would be over, there would be rains. He told his story. One time in Fiji Island, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj had gone to preach, and during that time in Fiji, it was already a drought. The rainy season had already passed, and they had not experienced rain for 2 years, and mostly they grow sugar cane. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was speaking in the agricultural college, and he was speaking about yajna, how one should perform yajna. And he said, if you perform yajna, only yajna can bring rains. And if the rains are there, then the grains will come. And if the grains are there, then you can subsist. So he was speaking that from the Bhagavad Gita. And after the talk was over, one lady professor, she raised her hand. And she was quite disturbed because there are no rains. And the Swamiji comes and talks something, very fantastic ideas. And she said, Swamiji, you know, you are talking too much about these things. Can you bring rains by performing yajna? And he concluded his talk by saying, the best yajna in this age of Kali is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And again, because Tamal Krishna Maharaj had stayed with Srila Prabhupada, he had complete conviction. Without any doubt, he said, yes, you start kirtan from now, we'll continue performing kirtan, and after the kirtan is over, the rains will come. His plan was to not to stop the kirtan till the rain comes. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj told, now you start the kirtan. And he was thinking, what if the rain doesn't come? And boldly in front of thousands of students, Tamal Krishna Maharaj made this declaration that the rains will come. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj announced that you have to put complete faith. You have tried with your all material means, you could not bring rains. Now you try our method. So actually all the students folding their hands, the teachers, the professors, and more than anybody else, the devotees themselves. With great intensity, they started chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for 2 hours. And after the 2 hours, they completed the Harinam, the rain started falling. And what to speak of that, not only one time, the whole night there was rain. And then these people, these devotees were recognized in all the newspapers. There were the big headline articles. The Hare Krishna devotees, those who produce rains. And not only that, and then they went on traveling to all different cities of Fiji Island. And this devotee personally, Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu, is known as that, who produces rains by chanting. So whenever and whichever cities they went to Fiji Island, people would welcome them. And they would chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And sure enough, the rains were there. Immediately the rains would come. So the point is that Vishwas, that faith is developed in the heart of a devotee. That Krishna is the maintainer. He is the one who produces everything. And the next stage is Atma Nikshepa. And this word Nikshepa, Kshepa is like, you know, you throw these missiles. So Nikshepa means no objection. Atma Nikshepa. If Krishna does something in your life, you don't object. That is the exact precise meaning of the word Nikshepa. Putting down, placing, throwing, casting or depositing or pledge. And Akshepa means objecting, going against, the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the fifth principle, and that is Atma Nivedanam. That whatever Krishna does in my life, I will not object. And that is the difference between ordinary religion and Krishna consciousness religion. And when that Atma Nikshepa is there, then what happens? Naturally there is humility. Karpanya. Karpanya means one completely depends on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Rupa Goswami, he gives the example of Bali Maharaj as the personification of self-surrender. Now what is Bali Maharaj's background? Bali Maharaj was not even a regular practicing devotee, he was a demon number one. His whole life was based upon fighting the demigods. In fact, he defeated all the demigods. And demigods are supposed to be the devotees of the Lord. And he was fighting them. And Lord Vishnu, when he saw that the demigods are completely defeated, they came to Lord Vishnu saying that we are in difficulty. And Lord said, you have to perform a truce. You can't fight them now because they are too powerful. You offended your spiritual master. You cannot fight. Better have a truce with the demons. And he gave the idea of churning the milk ocean. And they did that, they got the nectar, but still they were not satisfied. Because Bali Maharaj was still living and he had all the opulence. He was still the lord and master of the three worlds. And Indra was not at all satisfied with that, he was so restless. So then Lord Vishnu, just to please the demigods, apparently to please the demigods, but in reality, he wanted to give a facility for Bali Maharaj to exhibit the highest principle of devotional service, offering everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Vishnu, our Nityanand Prabhu was explaining morning, that just the Lord Vishnu is so wonderful, that the Supreme Lord, he descends to this material world and he performs unlimited pastime. One Vaishnava Acharya explains that Lord was enjoying with 16,000 wives and suddenly just to save Bali Maharaj, he comes as a brahmachari. Such a contrast for him. He has to change the role. So he came as a brahmachari and he came in the arena of Bali Maharaj. And simply by seeing Lord Vamandev, he became so fascinated. If you are attracted to somebody, you want to give everything. So Bali Maharaj, seeing Vamandev, became so happy seeing a Brahmana come to his place where Bali Maharaj was about to perform this big sacrifice. He had his teacher, all other priests and all his demonic friends. And Bali Maharaj said, what can I offer you? You ask anything from me, I'm willing to offer it to you. And Vamandev gave his philosophy, and after speaking so much, Lord Vamandev as a brahmachari said, give me 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj said, even though you speak big thing, but you are so unintelligent, why ask only 3 steps of land? And I am such a big person and you are asking only 3 steps of land, you are not very intelligent, you are not matured, you are not worldly wise. And Vamandev spoke to him. He said, one will not be satisfied even if he has got 3 worlds. And he was pinpointing to Bali Maharaj only. You got everything but still you are not satisfied. So if you want to be satisfied, you can be satisfied with whatever you have. But if you don't want to be satisfied, then you will not be satisfied with whatever you have. Therefore suffering, as our Sridhar Maharaj would say, that suffering is compulsory, but misery, what is that? Misery is compulsory, but suffering is optional. Nobody can make you suffer unless you decide to suffer. Nobody can make you suffer unless you decide to suffer. So Bali Maharaj was told by Vamandev that one can be satisfied with whatever one has. So I need only 3 steps of land. So he agreed to give 3 steps of land. But then suddenly Shukracharya, he realized that this is a disaster for Bali Maharaj. He said, wait. He said, this is Lord Vishnu in disguise. He is Hari. He has come to take away everything from you. Do not offer him any charity. You lose everything. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, Hari means one who takes everything of yours. Everything is taken away by Lord Hari, including your mind. And that is the most difficult thing. Sometimes we can offer some items what we have, you know, some money, some intelligence. But to offer our consciousness, that is the most difficult thing. Therefore, being Krishna consciousness is the toughest. Why? There is a conflict between I consciousness and Krishna consciousness. I want to retain my consciousness. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains what is Atmanivedanam. Atmanivedanam means offering one's own self to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and giving up the concept of I and mine. As long as the concept of I and mine is there, then it is not Atmanivedanam. You are offering what you have with maintaining your trying to protect yourself.
Hare Krishna, you are listening Hare Krishna morning program. Due to time restriction, I stop the lecture, but next week definitely will continue. As we heard from Govinda Prabhu about Atmanivedam, that is our prime goal. It needs some practice. Looking at the studio clock, we got scheduled for a devotional song.
पतय शांतिः विश्वे देवाः शांतिः कामः शांतिः क्रोध शांतिः ब्रह्म शांतिः सर्व शांतिः शांतिरेव शांतिः शांतिरेधि यतो यत समीहसे ततो नुम अभयं कुरु शन्नः कुरु प्रजाभ्यो भयन्न पशुभ्यः
to the suburbs. Your station, your voice, 88.9 Win FM.
Hare Krishna, you are listening Hare Krishna morning program. Allow me to explain you a little more about this significant month. This month we call Chandan Yatra and Akshaya Tritiya. Chandan Yatra starts on the third lunar day of the waxing moon of Vaishak, month of Vaishak. Lord Jagannath gave direct instruction to King Indradyumna to perform this festival at this time. Smearing the body of the Lord with ointment is an act of devotion. And the best of ointment is sandalwood paste. Since the month of Vaishak is very hot in India, the cooling effect of the sandalwood is very pleasing to the body of the Lord. Sandalwood paste is applied all over the body of Jagannath, leaving only his two eyes visible. The functional deities were taken on procession are placed in a boat in the temple pond to commemorate this festival. Lord Chaitanya also carried out water sports with his devotees on this day. One can apply the chandan, saying a special mantra to the Lord and glorify the Lord. Akshaya Tritiya, which is celebrated as well as the day which Treta Yuga begins. One of the main ingredients of the Homa, which is the Yuga Dharma of Treta Yuga, Treta Yuga start on Akshaya Tritiya, was also created on this day. Ganga Devi also descended to earth on this day. Many common people have special puja on this day. One should bathe in the sacred river, give charity, perform japa and offer barley in a sacred fire and offer food preparation to the deities. Akshaya Tritiya, a very auspicious day. There is no inauspiciousness to be found today. So even checking muhurtas is considered unnecessary. So auspicious it is. Whatever one does for devotees and for Krishna, that person will get more benefit, and it is eternal benefit and never lost. One story of a Brahmana. There was a Brahmana who had a very good wife and was poor. Whatever little money he got would get spent somehow. Also, he did not have children. So under the strong request of his wife, he went to Vasishtha Muni to know the reason for his suffering. Vasishtha Muni told that in his previous life he was very rich and also had many children, but he was very stingy. He was not even spending for his own children. This is the reason for his being poor. Also without children, then that Brahmana asked Vasishtha Muni why he got a good wife. So that Muni replied that somehow with some reason he observed that the vrata of Vaishak month for the last 5 days. So he got a good wife and also the Brahman birth. Then the Muni advised him to follow at least the last 7 days left for Vaishak month with devotion to Lord Krishna. Since that Brahmana observed the vrata of Vaishak month, for that at least the last 7 days left, he got sons, he became rich, and ultimately he got love of Godhead and went back to the spiritual world. Akshaya Tritiya, from the calendar of the Madhya Vaishnavas, the third day in the bright fortnight of Vaishakha, is the day of the incarnation of the Lord Vishnu as Parashuram. Somehow Akshaya Tritiya related with Akshaya Patra is said to have been given by the sun god. It is the same pot that Mother Draupadi used to cook in. It is said that from the time of turning it upwards of use on a day, the pot will provide unlimited amounts of foodstuff for the satisfaction of the Lord. There is a story in this connection wherein the angry sage Durvasa came to Draupadi demanding the foods. After the Rajasya sacrifice was performed, Duryodhana became very envious of the Pandavas. And he came to the Siddha mansion created by the Maya Danavas. Bewildered by illusions of many kinds, Duryodhana mistook the solid floor for water and lifted the end of his garment to walk forward on what he thought was shallow water, but it was solid floor. And after a few more steps, he fell into waist deep water, mistaking it for a solid floor. Proud Duryodhana, who was wearing his crown and a costly necklace, was very angry. But when he fell into the water, everyone laughed, especially Draupadi and Bhima. Yudhishthira tried to check the laughing of all the women in the palace by raising his hand and his glances. Humiliated and swearing revenge, Duryodhana turned his face downwards and went back to Hastinapur. The Kurus then made a conspiracy to trick Yudhishthira into a gambling match by which the Kauravas would cheat the Pandavas out of everything with the dice made from the Shakuni's bone. During the match, Yudhishthira lost his kingdom, wealth, jewelry and clothing, finally even gambled and lost his wife as well. When Dushasana went to fetch the chaste Draupadi, she said she couldn't come to the assembly as she was undergoing her monthly period and was only dressed in one piece of cloth, a simple sari. Draupadi had a beautiful bunch of hair which was sanctified at the ceremonial Rajasya Yajna, but Dushasana grabbed her hair just to insult her. When he started to pull off her sari just to make her naked, Draupadi, realizing that she had no hope of help from her husbands as they too had been lost by Yudhishthira, being tricked into upholding mundane moralistic codes, and now had no free will to act. Draupadi then sent percent completely surrendered to Krishna, and to the amazement of the assembly, as much sari, the clothing, Dushasana took from her body, as much again replaced it. Lord Krishna, though protecting his surrendered devotee, decided that for their sinful behavior, the Kurus would be inevitably killed in the battle of Kurukshetra, and all of their wives would too loosen their hair in public, but this time as the widows. When the Pandavas were exiled to the forest for 12 years after a second gambling match, the Kurus made a clause that after the completion of 12 years, the Pandavas had then to spend 1 year incognito, thus making 13 years all told. If during the final year the Pandavas' whereabouts were discovered, they again had to spend another 12 years in the forest. Because the Pandavas were concerned how to feed the Brahmanas who accompanied them to the forest, Srimati Draupadi was given a pot for the sun god called Akshaya Patra. This pot would never be empty until Draupadi had taken her meal and turned the pot upside down. Then it would produce no more for that day. Once Draupadi had finished cooking and had just taken her meal, when the Durvasa Muni arrived with many of his disciples, the angry sage Durvasa and his disciples had secretly been asked to go there by the Kauravas, who knew that by this time Draupadi would have taken her meal. And if she was unable to offer them anything to eat, she would incur the wrath of Durvasa. Durvasa's and his disciples went to the river to bathe and freshen up before taking their meal. Draupadi, full of anxiety, prayed to Lord Krishna to help her. Lord Krishna then told Draupadi that if there was a morsel of food left, he would be satisfied if that was offered by Draupadi. His pure devotee, with love to him, seeing a fragment of spinach stuck to the side of the pot, Krishna asked for it. Draupadi offered it to Krishna, and simply by eating that morsel of foodstuffs, all of Durvasa's men and Durvasa himself became completely full and satisfied, and out of embarrassment slipped away, didn't come to demand a meal from Draupadi as the sinful Duryodhana had arranged for them to do. It is important to hear such a story pastimes. By hearing this, we engage ourselves in this service of Guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna, thus becoming inspired to always render service to devotee is always the beneficiary of such interaction with the Vaishnavas, one's Guru and Lord in Sri Krishna. Looking at the studio clock, we've got some time. So I've got a special prayer. It's called Gurvastakam, to praying to the spiritual master. Let us listen a prayer. Srila Prabhupada has given us the path of absolute truth. So why not glorify the spiritual master?
Australian music, country, easy listening, golden memories, jazz, 60s, 70s, retro classics, today's hits, alternative and dance. It's your station, your voice, 88.9 Win FM.
Hare Krishna, you are listening to Hare Krishna Morning Program. This is 88.9 Win FM, your station, your voice. Every Saturday, 8 till 9 a.m., I present this program on behalf of Hare Krishna Temple. Our address is 197 Dang Street, Albert Park. Contact 9699-5122. continue our journey to the path of absolute truth, I will read today the Vedic thoughts for this month. Our contention is not that the pastimes of Sri Krishna are historical events, but that they are a revelation of the truth in the form of historical events. The pastimes of Sri Krishna are not, therefore, less true than any historical events of whatsoever. They are much more. All the historical events of this world will be enabled to disclose the real elements of the truth that they represent only when they would be set forth in their proper relationship to the only eternal variety, the pastimes of Krishna. Looking at the studio clock, we got some more time. Let us listen another devotional song. Looking at the studio clock, it's nearly 9 o'clock. Next show on this station would be very well known, Saturday morning show called Fast, Lean and Invincible. Hope you all had enjoyed today's Hare Krishna morning program. I'm Charu Chaitanya Das from Hare Krishna Temple. Please accept our humble request and invitation. Every day we are open but especially inviting you for Saturday and Sunday's Melbourne famous Hare Krishna Free Feast, which is full of absolute transcendental activities. Find your place in Hare Krishna Temple. Our address is 197 Dang Street, Albert Park. Contact 9699-5122. Don't hesitate to call me for any queries regarding today's program, or by any means if we can assist you to progress towards Krishna consciousness. My contact number is 0412-696-559. Wishing you and your families very good weekend with spiritual progress. May Lord Krishna bless us all and gives us appropriate guidance to find tranquility and bliss in our life. Looking forward to have your association again Saturday morning. Until then, Hare Krishna.
Your station, your voice. WinFM Community Radio, broadcasting on a frequency of 88.9 MHz on the FM dial. We operate using a community broadcast license, and our studios are located on the Werribee campus of the Victoria University. Our information and request phone line is 9216 8089.